Slim turned out all the lights and shuffled off to his bedroom. I heard his bed spring squeak. Then the sound of his snoring came down the hall. That was my cue to, well, leave my spot on the floor and more or less hop myself up onto the couch. That floor gets hard after several hours, don't you see? And I had learned that sleeping on the couch was much better. Yes, I was aware that Slim didn't exactly approve of my sleeping on his couch, but I knew that he would want me to get a good restful night's sleep. Down deep, where it really counts, most cowboys in this world want their heads of ranch security to be fresh and rested in the morning. Some even demand it. I mean, on some outfits, the cowboys actually require their dogs to sleep on couches and chairs and beds and other soft places because they know that a well-rested dog is the ranch's best defense against monsters and trespassers. It's the cheapest insurance in the whole world, and even though Slim had forgotten to mention it, I knew that he would want me to be fresh and alert in the morning. Taking care of Slim's insurance needs was much more important to me than my own personal comfort, even if that meant, wow, what a great couch. Slim had definitely made a wise decision in telling me to use it. I knew he wouldn't care about a few dog hairs here and there, because what mattered, what really mattered, was that snark, murk, snickle, fritz. I must have dozed off. Who wouldn't have dozed off on such a wonderful couch? What woke me up was the sound of something. A rattling sound. I raised my head, lifted my ears, and peered into the inky black dark of the inkiness. Darkness, whatever. It was very dark. The sound appeared to be coming from inside the room, which was not a real good omen. I mean, I couldn't think of anybody but me who belonged in there. I was just about to launch into a withering barrage of barking when I heard a voice. Yes, it was a voice. And it was speaking, and I heard it. And here's what it said.
Gotta get out of here. Let me out. Where's a hole? There's gotta be a hole.
That sounded strangely familiar. Hadn't I heard that voice before? Slowly, the pieces of the puzzle began falling into place. You probably never would have guessed it, but I felt pretty sure that the voice I heard belonged to Eddie the Rack. And no, I didn't bark in alarm because I knew I could handle this deal all by myself. No need to bother Slim. I slipped off the couch and glided over to the cage on paws that made not a sound. Sure enough, there was Eddie, pacing the cage and rattling the door with his hands. It appeared that he was having another attack of moonlight madness. I sat down in front of the cage. "Excuse me, but you're making noise and disturbing the household." He stared at me with those beady little eyes.
"Oh, hi. I'm locked up. I gotta get out of here."
"In the first place, you're locked up because you're supposed to be locked up. In the third place, just a few hours ago, you yourself said, and I quote, they ought to lock me up."
"I know, but things change. Everything changing all the time. It's crazy."
"Yeah, well, some things don't change, Eddie. And one of those things is that I'm head of ranch security, and I've been assigned the job of watching you. If I thought you were going to escape, I would have no choice but to sound the alarm. I'm sorry." Eddie seized the wire cage with both hands and looked at me with pleading eyes.
"You don't understand. They're calling me."
"Calling you? Oh, I get it. You're hearing voices. Yes, that fits in with the overall pattern of moonlight madness. We're familiar with those symptoms, but I'm afraid you'll have to stay in your cage. See, the voices aren't real."
"Oh, yes, they are. Can't you hear them?"
I cocked my ear. "No. I hear Slim snoring and you blabbering."
"No, no, the voices. Listen."
I listened, and you may not believe this, but by George, I thought I heard someone singing.
"In the darkness of the cabinet, we are hiding in the gloom. We've been locked away in silence. imprisoned and marooned. Our lives have no significance. We've lost our will to be. Won't you open up the cabinet door and kindly set us free?
I couldn't believe my ears, and for a moment I was too stunned to speak. Hey, Eddie, did you just hear someone singing? He nodded. So it wasn't just my imagination? He shook his head. Okay, next question. Have you ever heard of, well, singing cookies? Or cookies singing? He nodded. I began pacing, as I often do when I'm plunged into periods of deep concentration. Singing cookies. This isn't a subject I'd want to talk about with just anyone, Eddie. I mean, there are people and dogs in the world who would think you were a little weird if you started talking about singing cookies. But you did hear that song, is that correct?
Heard it. They need our help.
I stopped pacing and stared at him. They need our help. The cookies need our help. Is that what you're saying? He nodded. I began pacing again. I thought that's what you were saying. I'd hoped you might be saying something else. You see, all my life I've never wanted to believe in singing cookies. I don't know why. I've just never wanted to think that cookies could, well, sing.
Yeah, right. Me too.
Really? You understand that? Oh, good, because I'll be honest, Eddie. I don't know how to respond to this. I mean, those cookies were calling for someone to help them.
Yeah, poor cookies.
Exactly. Poor cookies. How would you like to be a cookie wrapped up in paper and locked away in a drawer? It must be terrible.
Yeah, they just want to be free.
Exactly. Free to express their cookiness with the rest of the world. Is that so bad, Eddie? Is that unreasonable?
Nah, that's what I'd want if I was a cookie.
Me too. I stopped pacing and took a deep breath. What do you think, pal? Should we help him? He shrugged.
It's up to you. It's your ranch. You're in charge.
Good point. I'm in charge, Eddie, and sometimes the responsibility of being in charge is a very heavy burden. I mean, up here where I operate, all the decisions are tough. This one is even tougher than most. He seized the bars of his prison cell with both hands and leaned towards me.
You want my advice?
I'm not sure that I do, Eddie, to be real honest about it. I mean, let's face it. You're a coon, and coons have a pretty bad reputation on this ranch. And then there was that deal about the elevator. Remember that?
That's history. Gone. Past. We must free the cookies. You and I. Teamwork.
I had to study on that for a few moments. They do need our help, don't they? And I guess it wouldn't be too much trouble, would it? And it might turn out to be, well, a pleasant or rewarding, let us say, experience.
Yeah, helping others.
That's what I meant, helping others. Exactly. Eddie held up his hands.
These hands can do it. Open the drawer, throw off their chains, bring freedom to the poor cookies.
Yes, I'll bet they could. There's only one small problem, Eddie. Your hands are locked up with the rest of your carcass. Or to frame it up another way, is there some way of getting you out of there?
Yeah, same as last night. Push the latch.
But now there's the string, Eddie. Slim tied the door shut with a piece of string, and I'm afraid that strings are out of my league.
Push the latch. I'll handle the string.
Well, I suppose we could... This isn't another of your tricks, is it? I mean, you didn't come up with the singing cookies just for... No, that would be too clever, even for a coon. Okay, pal, let's see what we can do.
Freedom for the cookies!
And so it was that I pushed the latch with my nose, while Eddie used his busy little fingers to untie the knot in the string. He stepped out of the cage, and together we marched into the kitchen to set the cookies free!